Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Your Money, Your Life podcast, episode 183 of the podcast. Before we get into it, make sure wherever you're listening, like, subscribe, five-star rate, and review the pod. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to hit the notification link so you know every time I drop a new episode, as we're doing, of course, right now. 183, let's get into it. Of course, we know we start with the market update this week. The big thing in the market is the U.S. downgrade. So, as you know, if you're someone that borrows on a credit card or you borrow debt on a loan, mortgage, house, what's the first thing that you do when you borrow the money from an institution? They look at your credit profile, they look at your rating, they look to see, do we believe this person will be able to pay us back in a timely manner? Will they have any issues? What's their income? What's their history of paying back? What's their credit report? Do they have any late payments? That's called, of course, looking at the credit risk profile of an individual. Now, there are companies that do that same thing, look at the credit risk profile, but they do it on an institutional level or on a national level, national meaning nation state, on a government level. So there are rating agencies that look at all the countries in the world and they rate them based on their ability to pay back their debt. As we know, the United States, of course, gets tax revenue from all the taxes we pay. And then they also borrow money as well, whether it's from other countries, whether it's from bigger institutions. And their ability to pay back is rated as well. And so Fitch is one of the rating agencies that does this rating on countries, institutions, and they lowered the United States rating. They cut the United States long-term foreign currency issuer default rating to AA+ from AAA late Tuesday, citing expected fiscal deterioration over the next 3 years. And that's why you saw a big pullback in the market yesterday, primarily because of the downgrade. Again, this is the second time that's happened to the U.S. during the Obama administration in 2008, I believe, roughly. There was another downgrade from S&P, I believe. Someone fact-checked me on that. So they're pretty much saying they're worried about the long-term viability of the U.S. ability to meet their debt payments. But most people think it's obviously not very valid, as the U.S. is probably the strongest nation state in the country, in the world. There's still the economic superpower that it is and will always be able to pay back its debts. So that was interesting enough. And so the markets took that as a sign to pull back a little bit and take some profits, as well as, you know, we have earnings season around the corner. So there'll be a little bit more volatility, I believe, in this time frame. It's not even volatility. If you've seen the last 2 weeks of the market have been green, which is not, you know, normal. It hasn't happened since like the 80s, right? The Dow was like on a 12-day green streak, which hasn't happened since 87. Which means that, of course, profit taking will come, because things don't just go up and right straight to the up to the right. That's not how life works, and so that's understandable. And so you're going to see a little bit of that. You're going to see earnings come out from different companies right now. That's the big thing: earnings. So yes, you saw the downgrade, but let's move into a little bit more of current events and news. So I thought this was an interesting article. It's looking at is the economy actually in a good state, or, you know, we have a strong job market, we have consumers still spending, but that's at the risk of higher prices. So people are wondering, has the Fed done a good job of creating a soft landing? Meaning we have strong economic data still, although there's still some layoffs, there's layoffs happening relatively, you know, if what are we at 3.7, 3.8% unemployment, that's relatively low unemployment rate. And we have, you know, still in consumer spending, earnings aren't terrible from companies. So people are wondering, all right, has the Fed done a good job of creating a soft landing? And can they actually cheer the good news when it comes to a strong labor market, consumers still spending, earnings doing okay? If they are, we'll see the report cards coming out for a lot of companies still. And inflation beginning to moderate a little bit, not fully at the goal or target yet. But this article is actually pretty much wondering, all right, can we interpret this stuff as solid signs for the economy, and that conditions, a sign that conditions are too hot, or could we interpret it as a sign that conditions are still too hot, And the economy is, you know, resilient, but it might be just rapidly too hot. So that's the big thing. A soft landing is hard to guarantee. And we could be still in terms in, you know, in Q4 of this year, Q1 of 2024, in for a big slowdown once the full impact of the Fed's higher and borrowing costs is felt. So that lag is still going to happen, right? And if you had someone that, you know, someone that's been laid off, the severance comes off 3, 4, 5 months after, and someone still hasn't found a job yet, then that becomes, you know, a little bit stickier for people. And so these are things that people are starting to wonder if we're at a place where we can start to cheer good news. The PCI, Personal Consumption Index, which is like the Fed's actual tool that they like to look at when it comes to inflation. Of course, you see that dip here that we're starting to see, starting to cool, but it hasn't fully cooled yet, but starting to cool. And the economy has been incredibly resilient so far. And so a soft landing, again, it's really, really hard to achieve. But, you know, even Mr. Powell said, the overall resilience of the economy to the fact that we've been able to achieve disinflation so far without any meaningful negative impact on the labor market, the strength of the economy overall, that's a good thing. So if we get data that shows, all right, we are in a literally situation where we've brought inflation down and employment is still strong, that's like finding the unicorn, folks. That will be a wild, wild time. Monthly job openings per unemployed worker. Remember, this is a good stat, shows the amount of openings per unemployed worker. Let's look at it back. It's usually under that 1% or one per opening. 2008, 2009 crash really dipped to 20% or 0.2. And then you saw kind of steadily increases as the world recovered. And then, of course, the pandemic really dropped. And then, boom, the spur of the good times. And now that's starting to come down. So job openings per unemployed worker started to come down. You probably want to see that go closer to one, and then more than likely. So economists are looking at the data and trying to understand where we're at. So that's pretty interesting news there. So I want to double back on the downgrade. So Warren Buffett, obviously one of the best investors to ever live, is saying he's not really worried about the downgrade. He's really not worried. It doesn't change. He said it doesn't change what his company is doing. They bought $10 billion in treasuries last Monday. Treasuries being obviously from the U.S. government. And he's saying there's some things people shouldn't worry about, and this is one. And I agree that this downgrade isn't something that people really should be worried about. If the U.S. economic system fails, and the world fails, and that's just not going to happen. And if it does fail, then it's like, okay, there's much more big things to worry about. The money wouldn't matter at that point. So that's not a big thing to worry about. The dollar is still the reserve currency of the world, and everybody knows it. And that's just the truth. There's no shift. There's no one going to be able to take over that spot. It's just the truth. So this is an interesting story I saw. Warner Bros. Discovery loses subscribers after Max launch, but makes headway on the debt pay down. So Warner Bros. Discovery, of course, that's, if I'm not mistaken, HBO owner, which now changed their streaming platform to Max, which again, I think it was a stupid move. I didn't get it. They had to download a new app to do Max. All of a sudden we were using HBO Max, and all of a sudden it's just Max. Like, what kind of branding change is that, ladies and gentlemen? I'm not a marketing expert, but I think I could have done an okay job on that one. I would have just left it alone, actually. They would have, yeah, just leave it alone. But the global direct-to-consumer streaming subscribers at the end of the period were 95 million, well below Wall Street's expectations, and a decrease of nearly 2 million from the end of the first quarter. I think a lot of that is attrition because people had to download a new app. It was HBO Max, and then you had to download a new app. We did it in our own household. We had to download Max and then re-sign into everything. And you're going to lose some people in that re-signing process. So they lost. And again, this is way behind Netflix. I think Max, what is Netflix at? 200-300 million? But they launched their Max streaming service, which the reason why they had to do this new streaming service, which I don't know if they had to do it this way, they obviously merged some new content that they have, the Warner Bros., the Discovery content. They merged that, merging HBO content with unscripted hits from Discovery Networks into one platform. customers dropping their Discovery Plus subscriptions for Max was likely to blame for the drop in subscribers. Data provider Antenna estimated that Discovery Plus cancellations were about 68% compared to June 2022 due to the switch over to Max. So yeah, a lot of people that were having Discovery Plus had to switch to Max. Some of them didn't re-up, and so you lost a lot of the subscribers. But they said they're being able to pay down their debt, and so they had a earnings call on that. But yeah, I was really interested about the switchover and why they did that. It's because they're merging those two catalogs together, and they're going to lose some people in that fray. They didn't lose me because I was watching Full Circle. We watched Full Circle on Max. Keep trying to call it HBO. We watched Full Circle on Max. Good show for those who haven't seen it. Good show. SoftBank wants to go public. So for those who aren't aware, SoftBank is just pretty much a huge investment firm. They're one of the largest tech. They call themselves a tech company because they invest a lot in tech, but. They really put a lot of money into different investments. They want to do an IPO. They're looking at that eye in evaluation about $70 billion potentially in September. And so we'll see that. And SoftBank obviously has a technology arm and they could do a good, I mean, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what they do there with that IPO. More news. It's not been a quiet week, but a semi-quiet week. 10 billion deposits for Apple Savings. So interesting enough, Apple's trying to become like this fintech arm, kind of everything arm. And of course, they launched their card, Apple Card, and all these different things. Of course, their high yield savings account they launched, was it 6, 7, 8 months ago? But they have 10 billion in those accounts right now, which is a substantial amount for a new semi-ish bank that they partner with Goldman Sachs on this, which is incredible. I mean, 10 billion is a lot of funds, but we'll watch how that grows, if it grows. An elite college degree, is it helpful? So they're saying an elite college degree may not significantly impact a student's future earnings, but it could help in other ways. So the study found that those who attend a select private school like the Ivy League have a better chance of getting into good graduate schools or a prestigious firm and hold leadership positions. In other words, the schools are gateways into upper echelons of society. Okay. So wait, they're saying it is helpful? They are saying it is helpful. Okay, they are saying it is helpful. This is off the heels of the surprising and you know, unwanted new college degree admissions policy following the Supreme Court's ruling. But yes, you know, it's no doubt that a top degree, whether it's, you know, undergrad or MBA, like my case, those things are super, super helpful to get you in. I looked at it as being able to get you into career paths that you wouldn't normally get into, especially if you're like someone that's in the Midwest or not in a large city and not able to really network your way in, which is also really hard. Those degrees allow you like the pipeline directly into those recruiters, into those firms, into those, you know, whether they're high paying or just, you know, whether it's high finance, tech, consulting, those type of gigs that they only really recruit from those top schools, to be honest. I think it's really a gateway to those schools. So advantages beyond earnings. So yeah, they are saying that there are advantages and it go beyond just earnings. It gives you a network. In a lot of cases, you'll see people that start firms that did it with someone they know from, you know, undergrad or someone they know from business school or something of that nature. Really, really gives you a leeway and head up in that regard. More news. There wasn't that much this week. We talked about the downgrade. So the case study this week, I wanted to look at Kevin Durant's business portfolio. Kevin Durant has done an incredible job creating a monster business portfolio for media with the boardroom. And he has a really strong team around him. So I want to look at some of the companies he's invested in. He's really created his venture capital arm that's done a really, really good job of investing in different companies. And they focus, you know, primarily on esports, cannabis, tech. And they've looked and they've done a really, really good job of finding companies that have some increase in value. So let's look at a few of them in this case study and figure out how he's built that. Of course, his salary is large enough to be able to make venture investments. So one of the things they've invested in, Alt, which has raised $110 million. His best investment was Coinbase. And that one, of course, IPO'd and at one point was worth about $86 billion. And now it's roughly around $13.6 billion. But I mean, if you're an early investor, you went from when they were, you know, what, valued at 5, 10, 15 million. So you really multiples on multiples of your investment, money over money on your investment. And so that's a huge one. So 35 Ventures has more than 50 investments in private companies in its stock portfolio, some of which are looking to IPO. And so he's really looking at, you know, interesting companies in my opinion. Overtime was a big one. It's a sports social media startup, and it has raised more than $100 million in funding. Some of the other names in this that invest in the company are Jeff Bezos, Drake. And the company has been valued at more than $500 million. Overtime claims as much as 6% of all NBA players have invested in the company, including Carmelo Anthony, Paul Gasol, and Trae Young. That's a pretty interesting one. Other ones, Lively has raised $200 million. Health savings account provider Lively raised another $80 million in October of 2021. Jeeves, $270 million raised. Imperfect Foods, $270 million raised. Acorns, $507 million raised. Acorns was close to going public in 2022, and then instead they raised another $300 million in private funding. The first capital raise in 3 years. They're close to a $2 billion valuation. And so these are some of the things he's been doing. He's really been creating a strong team and a manager and people that are investing these funds for him and creating a strong portfolio that's going to last him way, 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 way beyond basketball and the incredible salary he's been earning in basketball. So just another one of these examples of someone doing a great job of that. Well, folks, that's it for this week. We've gone through a great deal. Thanks for all those who reached out for me on my birthday. It was a great birthday, another great year. We're hoping to have an even better year this year. Stay tuned. We'll see you next week.